everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me tonight is my co-host. I did that on purpose. My good buddy, David.
Hi. Either one works, though.
You know, right? I did that on purpose, though, I promise. Just to make a joke. Start off the interview really good with a laugh, so here we are.
Here we are. It got suddenly colder around here.
Oh, did it? Yeah. It's been getting cooler here, too. But let's get to our guest, because we don't want her to get cut off from her thunderstorms. Tonight we are so very pleased to have with us a multi-award-winning singer-songwriter and author, Janice Ian. And those are Grammys, by the way, people.
Hi. Hi, Pam. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
So I guess you're getting in Nashville what I had in Chicago. We had about 3 days of rain and pretty bad thunderstorms, and
yeah,
David got them in New York. So
we're looking a little bit funky here. It's just raining everywhere right now. It's good,
yeah.
Good for the gardens.
Definitely, definitely. I know that you probably have a better winter than Chicago does, so
much. That's
where I am. So I think I'll bunk out on your back porch. Is that okay?
Sure, sure. We've got a big yard. You're welcome to bunk out there, too.
Large
okay.
dog house, I'll take.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to start out our show with giving a little background on our guest, and wanted to ask you, when did you decide you wanted to be a singer professionally?
Oh, the minute I realized it was possible, I think. It must have been 10, 9.
Yeah, you did start awfully young.
Yeah, I started writing songs when I was 12. I was published when I was 13, and I made a record when I was 14, so it was pretty early on. I mean, I always wanted to do this. I never wanted to do anything else but write and sing, so I'm pretty lucky that I've gotten to do it my whole life.
Oh, yes. There's not a lot of people that can say they've done that, you know, and made a living at it, too.
Absolutely.
Now, did you take singing lessons, or did it just come naturally?
I took lessons to make sure that I wouldn't lose my voice on a long tour. Something that I would recommend for any singer.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, fortunately, I had teachers who didn't want to change anything about the way I sang. They just wanted to help me preserve my voice.
That's a good idea, because I noticed that a lot of singers walk around with something around their throat, like a scarf or something. Does that really work?
Well, my dad always told me that if I wore a scarf all the time, I would never have to worry about getting sick. And whether it works or not, it's in my head.
Yeah. Well, you probably haven't had a lot of sicknesses, and as far as colds, you know, before going.
Well, you learn how to sing through them, you know. You learn how to sing through anything. I mean, the time before the last time I played London, I had food poisoning, me and my sound man both.
Oh.
French salmon, of all things. And we kind of did the show propped up on flat ginger ale and Pepto-Bismol, so... Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine having to do a show like that. God bless you for getting
horrible.
Through it.
Yeah, well, you know, you do what you got to do. People sometimes have made plans months and months ahead, so you really don't want to let anybody down.
Exactly. Although, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it, and people do tend to understand that as well. Now, I read that your first song you wrote was Society's Child, which is the one you wrote at the age of 14, and that it was a rough time for you because of what the song was about. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I think any time that you have early success, it's hard. Anytime you have success, really, it's hard. And you have to learn to redefine success. Maybe that's the way to put it. Like when I was younger, being famous was really important to me. And now being warm in the winter and having enough food and the occasional nice day out is important. So all of that changes a lot, and I think what you're willing to give up for it changes too. I'm off the road right now pretty much up for the next 2 years, although I'm doing 3 weeks in Europe next year. But that's with Tom Paxton, and we've always wanted to do it. But my idea of success now isn't based on how much touring I do. It's it's based on having a 24-year marriage, and it's based on having healthy grandkids, and it's based on paying off the mortgage, you know? Does that make sense?
Just like the rest of us, yes, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I have all of the above, and I think we're pretty much married the same amount of years. I always forget. Isn't this terrible? I got married in 1989, so whatever that is.
Yeah, we've been together since 89. We couldn't get married until 2003 in Toronto, but we count ourselves as a 24-year marriage at this point.
Oh, sure, especially when you've been together that long. Why not? You know, it doesn't always have to have a piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the song that always sticks out in my mind when I think of your name is At 17. It was such a huge hit. What was that song about for you?
Well, it's about me. I mean, I was kind of stunned that anybody else would relate to it. I think I spent the first 6 months waiting for the audience to laugh at me. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, everybody feels like that, don't they? Don't you think? Everybody feels like they're the only one. That's
yeah,
the power
that's
of a
true.
Song like At 17 is that it makes... It makes people feel like somebody gets it.
Right.
That's right.
And I think most songs are relatable, even if they're about the songwriter themselves. It's relatable to the listeners of the music. You just, the way you know, write the song, we can find something in there that was, yeah, that's me too. So
you go for the universal usually if you're any kind of a writer. Whether it's a song or a children's book or a short story or a novel, you're going to try and explain your experience in a way that other people can relate to it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it really does work, like with At 17, for me as a writer anyway, it's nothing short of miraculous.
How do you think your writing has changed from the time you started till now?
I'm a better writer. I'm more concise. Nashville really... forces you because the competition is so, gosh, there's so many great writers here. There's so many great players. You can't help but improve. I mean,
right.
The option is
right.
To give up.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that because I'm sure
no.
This is your passion.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, your album Between the Lines earned 5 Grammy nominations and 2 wins. What
it
emotions
did.
Ran through you with such high recognition from the
oh,
music
gosh,
industry?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's funny. I was just talking with a friend of mine, an author named Neil Gaiman, and I said, don't make the mistake I made with At 17. I was so busy all the time just trying to be more successful and do better that I didn't take any time to enjoy it. I mean, I remember we had to change a show date for the Grammys so I could perform, and CBS flew me on their private plane, and then the next morning I was back on the road. So it was great because I watched Ella Fitzgerald give me a standing ovation and that would have been out of my head forever.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was, you know, it would have been great. My folks were there. It would have been great to just spend some time with everybody and celebrate. And that's why when I got the Grammy this year for the Best Spoken Word, my partner flew out, Pat, and I had the producer of At 17, and we all, and my publicist, and after the win, we went to a nice private steak dinner and popped open a bottle of champagne and just had a really lovely evening, you know, because I think I've learned that that's really what you want to do when you have some success. You want to enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, and not be on the road and missing out on being able to celebrate that.
Right, exactly.
David, you had a question?
Yes, I did. Who were your favorite vocalists growing up?
Well, Joan Baez and Odetta, Billie Holiday, Edith Piaf, Dylan, Sinatra.
All great ones.
Pretty wide
all
span there,
ones.
I'd say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All really good singers. You know,
definitely.
I think that most of my phrasing probably comes out of jazz and folk music because I didn't start hearing pop music till I was in my teens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, my phone cut out there a second. Did you hear
Are
me?
Are you okay? Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, and here you're the one with the storm, and my phone cuts off.
That's all right.
Oh, wow.
Well, you took a 9-year break from music to rethink what you wanted to do, and you studied theater with the legendary Stella Adler. Did you
I
perform
did.
On stage after taking those classes?
No, that was really never important to me. I really just wanted to learn. And Stella was a huge influence on me. Stella was the one who told me that I should teach someday, and Stella was the one that told me that I should write in forms other than songs. So she really changed my whole life. She was amazing. She was 50 years older than me, and we were the best of friends. I miss her every day.
Oh. So did she influence you to become an author?
Yes. Yes, I think she was a big part of that because her love of the written word as opposed to singing. I mean, she loved songs, but she loved playwrights, and she loved the written word, and she loved stories and storytellers. And as I move toward being a storyteller rather than a songwriter, because storytelling includes songwriting.
Right, right.
I think a lot about Stella and her impact, and I'm good friends with her grandson, Tom, and I teach, I'm going to be teaching for them next fall for a couple of weeks at the New York Conservatory. So it's sort of a full circle for me with Stella and writing, and I guess being brave too, Pam, just being brave enough to take on a project like my autobiography, which was pretty daunting, or a children's book, which was really, you know, I had no experience with that. To take stuff like that on and say, okay, I'll do my best, that's all I can do.
Exactly, and you have done your best, because I read The Tiny Mouse, and I read that to my G-kids, as I call them, because nobody calls me Grandma, okay?
Okay, that's fair enough.
And they absolutely got a kick out of it. I had to read it to them a few times, and of course I played the CD for them, and they just loved it. So when they come back again, they're here every other weekend, I'm sure they'll be, you know, Nana, can you read that book again?
Nana, can you
play that music?
Send them to the website so that they can download all the free stuff we've got there, too.
Oh, I definitely will. And
yeah,
they've got to see that video.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of my puppy trying to learn to read. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that is too adorable.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. Now, is your dog used to you singing and reading to him?
You know, I try to get her to just pay attention. She's always just so much more interested in the cheese. In that sense, she and the tiny mouse have a fair amount in common.
Oh. Well, as long as dogs are being paid attention to, I think that's all they care about.
Yes.
Whether you're reading
wise.
Or talking nonsense
wise.
Or whatever.
Yep.
<You know? laughs> Pat them on the head, give them a kiss, hug them, spend time
and
with
call
them,
it
and
a
they're
day.
Happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we could talk for hours about your music career with all that you've done. I wanted to also say that you won your Grammy for this year, and you were up against President Bill Clinton, First Lady Michelle Obama, Rachel Maddow, and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah,
talk about competition.
It was quite a group. It was pretty amazing. And I was actually standing backstage clutching the hand of a complete stranger and saying, okay, I know how to lose. You know, I know how to lose.
Yeah.
I'll just be polite and I'll congratulate everybody and I'll send out some congratulatory tweets and we'll call it a day. And then I won. I mean, you could have blown me away.
Yeah, I know. That's amazing. My gosh. I mean, those are huge people, too, to be in competition with. And that's such an honor.
Well, it's like I said to somebody, you know, it's not exactly like any of those people needs a publicist.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
True.
It was a great night. I mean, for me, these kind of years, I was just talking with a friend about this, these kind of years happen so rarely where everything goes right. I won the Grammy, and then I won a month later, I won what they call an Audie Award, which is the Audiobook Peers Award for the best narration by an author. And my tours have sold out all year. My book is getting great reviews. You know, it's a really good year for me, and they're so rare that I'm just trying to savor it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because there's ups and downs in everybody's lives, and this is your uptime, so take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what goes into making an audiobook?
Wow, it's a lot of work. it depends. I've got an audiobook coming out in another 3 weeks by that's not written by me. It's by a Roman Catholic nun, actually, Miriam Therese Winter, and it's called The Singer and the Song. And she was like the American singing nun. So there are 28 songs. So that was a lot of preparation.
Wow.
There are, because she served as a medical mission sister in Kenya and Laos and Cambodia, there were a lot of city names that I had to check with her for the pronunciation of.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Navajo. I had to find a Navajo speaker to send me an MP3 of the word that I needed so I could at least be respectful.
Right.
So there was about 2 weeks of preparation work before I even arrived at the studio. And then basically you have a script that looks very much like any other script. It's a copy of the book, but usually formatted in larger print with spacing.
Mm-hmm.
And you and the director and the engineer, if there is a separate engineer, all have the same script with the same page numbers. And you try to speak naturally without making too many mistakes,
mm-hmm.
because every mistake you have to start over in that area.
Right.
And it takes about 5 days to do a book right in there.
Do you ever find yourself wanting to sing the word since you're a singer?
That's funny. I did a book called When Women Were Warriors recently. And there's a, I don't know what you'd call it. It's set in pre-Celtic times, really. It's a historical novel. And
mm-hmm.
there's a section where they're doing the solstice. There I go, blittling. The solstice ceremony.
It's not an easy word.
No, it's not. And they are they're all gathered around a fire, and they're saying an incantation that they normally say. And I called the writer and director, and I said, I know I'm not being paid to sing, and I know that we didn't discuss this, but I don't need any more pay to sing. I just can't stand the idea that this has no melody. Do you mind if I go ahead and make a melody? So I made a melody and had a really good time with that.
That's great that they let you do that.
Yeah, well, it's nice to work with people who respect your process.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big deal.
Definitely, definitely. Well, would you please tell our listeners more about the Tiny Mouse?
Well, it started with a song about a tiny mouse that was commissioned for a thing called the Boat Project out of the UK. And that is a tiny boat made up of 84 different pieces of wood donated by artists from all over the world. Each piece means something to that artist. And the songs were played, the 12 songs as it wound up, were played as the little boat went down the Thames as part of the opening Olympic ceremonies. So that was an amazing thing to be invited to, because it's only 12 singer-songwriters from all over the world. My little tiny mouse wound up being the piece of wood that I chose to write about. And I was talking with a friend of mine, Ellen Myrick, one day, and she asked, what have you been up to? And I said, I've written this really cool children's song that I just had the best time writing.
Yeah.
Send it to me. And next thing I knew, she was on the phone screaming that Lemniscott Publishing wanted it and the Schuberts were going to illustrate it.
I didn't understand
what a big deal that was until I discovered that they had never illustrated a book by anyone else in their lives.
Really?
As illustrators. Yeah. So that was a huge thing for me. And then we got a great starred review in Kirkus with it, and I did the American Library Association convention, got great reviews there. And we're trying very hard to make it accessible to everyone. So that's why the website, if you go to thetinymouse.com, you can download the song, you can download a karaoke version, you can download the music so that if you play, you can play along with it. My dad was a music teacher, and he was fervent in his belief that we should sing because it makes our hearts feel glad, not because we're going to be famous or because we're good, but because it makes us feel good.
Yeah.
So we put up the karaoke version and a little note on the website that says, please make your own record. Please put up your own YouTube video. Have a good time with this. Hoping to.
And you know what? I love that, speaking of YouTube, that Fiona.
Oh, isn't she great? The videographer's daughter? Yeah, Travis, the videographer, he said he just had his phone with him, and she started dancing to it while he was editing, and he thought, oh, this is so cool looking.
I love it.
Yeah, she's a sweetie, isn't she?
I love it. She is adorable, and you can tell she really enjoys the music a lot.
Yes, she has a wonderful time dancing to it. She came to the opening day at Parnassus Books, and she was dancing to it then. She was great.
Yeah.
So I'm having
a really big time
with it. You know, it's a kid's thing. I've got a tiny mouse hand puppet that a friend made, and
aww.
I've got little tiny mice that I keep buying on eBay for kids so that they can have finger puppets and sing along. And we have a really good time with it. It's interesting. It's fun.
Yeah. And I think that the more it gets out there, the more you'll see videos made by little kids being in there. I just can't imagine that not happening.
Right.
Maybe I should do that with my G kids when they come over. If you could have seen them, they were just too adorable with it.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. But, you know, I just want people to have a good time with it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and they do. Now, that I'm glad you told us a story behind that as far as being from the UK, because David and I had questioned if you had spent time in the UK. Yeah, because
right.
of Lou and drinking grog. And
right. Well, it was originally for a UK audience. And then the question came up, should I change it? And everybody said no. And that's partly because what we're trying to do is get it translated into as many languages as we can. So
mm-hmm.
we started with Dutch because the publisher is there, so we've got the two versions. And now we're looking for a Spanish translator, and we'll do that next. And then hopefully Japanese and Chinese, and we'll just keep going around the world.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so cool. I think so many kids would really enjoy it, no matter what language it was in. And it helped that you put, you know, the picture of the toilet there when I was saying Lou,
right.
and I pointed to the toilet, you know, and said, you know, they have to go potty or whatever, you know, because
uh-huh.
they are 3 and 4 years old, my grandsons. Yeah, I'll go ahead and say it.
So they're consumed with that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
boys,
and
right?
both boys, yeah. So the 3-year-old just now is pretty much potty trained, but, yeah, they understand what that is. The
yeah.
only thing I told them, grog was just like Kool-Aid, you know?
Yeah, it's like apple
yeah.
cider, yeah. It's what sailors drink, yeah, to keep from
yeah.
getting scurvy. Lemonade.
Now, one thing I don't know what it is what is sniffing snuff?
Oh.
Snuff. Have you never heard of snuff?
No,
yeah.
what is it?
Snuff
oh, yeah.
is like tobacco. Except that you sniff it, or you roll it up and you put it between your lip and your gums, I guess.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Snuff boxes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a clue, but I couldn't put it into words.
Well, you know, you could have Googled it, you guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think I did. I've seen it done. So, where did I see it done? Someplace I remember seeing on television somewhere that the old colonials
dipped snuff.
Did you do it too?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even think to Google it. Shame on me. But I let them, you know, go ahead and point out to the pictures, and I read the story and that. So it was really good. And I congratulate you, since this is your first children's book. You did a fantastic job with it, and will you be doing any more?
You know, I'm actually talking now about writing, that's part of why I want to stay home next year, writing an entire album of children's songs and doing a few more books, because I'm having so much fun with it. I just feel like it's something that at my age I can get away with.
Are your grandchildren little? Did they?
No,
they're
grown. They're 12 and 14. But my nephew, let's see, my middle nephew, there's three of them, is just about to have his first child, so I will be a great aunt sometime around December or January.
Isn't that amazing that you're a great aunt almost?
It's weird. That's all
it is.
It is. Weird.
Yes. It is. I'm a great cousin, but I'm not a great aunt yet. So.
Well, give it time, Pam. You know, all things come to those who wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will wait, because they're kind of
yes.
young, so I don't want them
yeah,
doing
just,
that yet.
Yeah, they're just a little young. I don't know how you'd get child support out of either of them if there was a problem.
Right?
It's true.
Well, I also wanted to bring up Society's Child, the title of your autobiography as well. Is there an audiobook?
There is, yeah. That's what won the Grammy, Society's
yeah.
Child, the audiobook. But I've got four more audiobooks coming out over the next 6 months, all of them by other people, except for the Stars Anthology, which is science fiction stories by my favorite writers based on my songs. And I've got one story in that.
Yeah, for some reason I went on Amazon because I'm one of those slow people and I don't have iTunes yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked for it and I couldn't find it, but I'll have to look again and see if I can find it somewhere else because I really want to.
Yeah, there should be a link. There's a link on Amazon to Audible. Absolutely.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. It's all this new technology. I'm trying to catch up with it, and it's not always something that I'm able to do. I'm forever calling my daughter or a friend of mine, how do you use this? Where do you find that? That kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah. Right. Pat and I always say, yeah, we need a 12-year-old.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they know how to do
they
all
know
this stuff.
So much.
David, you had another question?
Yeah, hold on just a minute.
David, you still there?
I'm right here, yep. Okay.
I was taught the dead air is a cardinal sin, so.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry, that's me. I just lost my place. So who would you cast in Society's Child if it was made for a movie?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. Oh, good gosh. Well, I mean, of course, you know, I would love to be tall and blonde, so I would put Charlize Theron in there, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you'd need such a wide span of ages, too, that it would be, oh, boy. I'm so glad that's not my problem.
Well, it may come up sooner than later, so maybe think about it.
You know, I'd love to see it made into a movie, if only to be a cautionary tale for other artists. But
yep.
But in terms of who would play, gosh, I have no idea. I wouldn't even want to speculate on who could deal with that. I know I wouldn't want to go through it again.
Well, you learn from your past, so that's one good thing.
Yeah,
at least
is.
Most people
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Do you want to be involved with? Would you want to be involved with the making of a movie for it?
I don't know, because it has never come up. I have no idea. I have a feeling that would be a bit too time-consuming. But then again, I see the difference. For instance, I'm friends with George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones, and I know George has been very involved in pretty much every aspect of that, and it's made a huge difference, I believe. So I don't know. I don't know. I'd probably ask George and a couple of other friends what they think.
Well, put the idea out there. You never know what would happen.
There you go. It's a big universe.
Yes. Now, you have some upcoming tour dates. There's Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 13th at the Southern Festival of Books in Nashville.
That's right.
And
I'm presenting my book and also working with an author whose book I just read, Maggie Shine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, so it's
fun.
A double.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Then October 13th at 2:30 at the Library Auditorium in Nashville, and Tuesday the 29th at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. And there, for our listeners, there's more dates, so please check out to see if Janice will be near you and go, you know, see her and learn about her books and everything and bring the
Thanks,
kids.
Pam. I appreciate it.
I want to go to Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville's great.
Well, and that's it, Janice.
A couple of minutes.
JaniceIan.com.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up now for you so you can go. And I'll let the listeners know where they can follow you on Twitter and Facebook and so on.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank you for joining us today and taking time out of your busy schedule. And please keep in touch. We'd love to hear back from you
please.
When you have more stuff out there.
Thanks. And Dave, good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Enjoy your evening.
Enjoy the kids. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, for our listeners, you can follow Janice on Twitter at The Real Janice Ian, and that's JanisIan. Also like her Facebook page at facebook.com/JaniceIan, and also the Facebook page for The Tiny Mouse, which is facebook.com/TheTinyMouse. And don't forget to go to thetinymouse.com to upload any of the songs that she has there, the Audible, everything. And make your do your own karaoke version of it and upload it to YouTube. Let her know that you did it. I think the kids would have a blast with that. What do you think, David?
I have to take a look at this. I haven't had an opportunity to see it yet, but you make it sound so inviting. I want to do it myself.
Right? I want to see you up there on YouTube.
You want to see me doing YouTube?
Well, I think the next time the kids are here, I'm going to see if I can catch them. The only problem is when I bring out my phone to videotape them doing something that I think is adorable, they stop doing what they're doing because they want to see it. So it's hard to catch them, you know, so you got to kind of be sneaky with it. Maybe I can have my husband videotape it while I'm reading to him or something and show how their, you know, reactions are to it. But I think it's wonderful. I think all the kids should be involved and read it. And it would be great if their parents took them to see the author, you know, at one of her tour dates.
Yeah, it would be great.
So thank you to Janice for joining us, and thank you for the listeners that have joined us. Also, don't forget to follow us on Blog Talk so that you'll get an email each and every time we have a show scheduled. And follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. That's with the number two. Follow David and Sabina, my other co-host, although she's been MIA because she's working hard, at Take Two Radio Crew. And check out my website for upcoming guests, previous podcasts, and more at take2radio.com. Our next guest is, oh, my gosh, David, I do not have it in front of me. Do you know?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. I usually have it open, but I had a bad day today. It was, put it this way, when everything that can go wrong went wrong. So it's been one of those days. The only pleasure I've gotten is talking to our guests today and also the guests that I had earlier on my music show, the band called World 5. They're also Grammy Award winners in that band. And what a lot of fun it was. The guitarists, Ray, called in from Sweden.
And we
we got to spend a little time talking to him, but he couldn't stay on too long because you know how that long distance goes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Can
be. Okay, I got it. We're on for tomorrow night.
Okay.
We are welcoming Michael Matteo Rossi for the can you pronounce that?
Misogynist. Yep.
And your friend who writes for it, Jonathan, is joining us too, am I right?
No, it's Michael Matteo Rossi is a writer, director, and a producer, and he's written Misogynist, his new movie. And in the movie is Jonathan Bennett, who is also an award-winning actor, and Michael is an award-winning director as well and writer. Jonathan Bennett actually played on All My Children as the younger J.R., and he's been in Mean Girls and a lot of different other shows and films. So those two will definitely be joining us at 7 p.m. Eastern time and possibly award-winning actress Tracy Bregman from The Young and the Restless. So I'm not positive about her yet. It all depends on her work schedule. And the friend you're talking about is my friend Maria Kacharian, who is the producer on the movie. And I'm so very excited for her because this is her first foray into doing any type of film or producing for that matter. It's not what she went to school for. It's way on the other spectrum of what she went to school for. So I was very surprised and pleased to see that on her Facebook and looked more into it and found out that Jonathan and Tracy were on it and just went from there and invited them to the show. So I'm very happy that they will be joining us tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday, right? Oh, my gosh, yeah. My days are all mixed up. 8 shows this week between 2 radio shows that I have and 7 interviews, so forgive me for my confusion.
That's okay. You have nothing to be forgiven about. You are a very busy lady.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, and then Friday on the music show, I have at 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rob Bonfilio, and he is a singer-songwriter in his own, but he's also the guitarist for Wilson Phillips and is married to Carney Wilson, so that should be a very interesting interview as well. And we'll be playing music from his latest album called Mea Culpa. And his songs are so much fun. I just love them. If you get a chance, you should go on YouTube and look up Rob Bonfilio, and it's Bonfiglio, and check out his song, like maybe one of my favorites is called Text Me, and that's from his newest album, Mea Culpa. So that's it. Yep, that's it for today, and we'll be back again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time, so be sure to join us. Thanks again, David, for joining me tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'd just like to give a shout-out to people.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to make the public aware, you and the public aware, that I will be in transition. I don't know when. I'm changing internet and cable providers due to a let's say I'm trying to save some money because times are getting a little tougher around here, and I want to stick around for a longer time. So I may be gone. I may be offline for a while. May not even take long. So I'm waiting until, you know, our shows die. So we're off.
Thanks.
So
you want our shows to die? No.
Oh, no. I'm waiting until our schedule dies. Because we've been very busy, and I didn't want to do this in the middle of everything and then leave you hanging.
Well, I appreciate that.
So I wanted to wait. So I'll probably call them tomorrow.
They do work on the weekends, and we're off. Well, you're off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday of next week. So, you know, that's 4 days, and I don't think it takes that long to, you know, hook that stuff up. Those guys are pros at what they do.
Are they good at when you want them, or?
I don't know. I've never dealt with Dish people, but I'm assuming that they try to, you know, work it into your schedule as well. They understand that people have jobs, you know, so you should be okay with that. Just give them a call.
And if I have to be home for it?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
I'll just give them a call and find out, and I'm sure they'll work something out with you.
The hard part, trying to be home for, because I remember when I was putting the Roadrunner in. This was years ago, and they said, "Well, we'll be there anytime between noon and 5."
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I got to be home, and I'm so nervous because I'm at work, and I don't know, should I stay? Guess what time they came?
Oh, sure, 5 to 5.
About that, they just made it, yeah. They made it here about 5 minutes to 5.
Yeah, I'm sure, because that's what they always do. That's what happens to me, so nothing surprises me anymore. But give them a call, and thanks again to our listeners for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Good night.